Amen. Well, I'm glad to be here. How are y'all doing this morning? Come on, we need some energy in this room. I'm going to tell you the thing about it is, come on. I just want you to know, I love coming here. I love coming here. There's lots of places that we could be and could go, and there's lots of choices we're not able to go anymore. This is a check mark on our list to come here because first of all, we love you guys. Secondly, I don't know how if y'all really understand how blessed you are with the worship here. I'm telling you, this worship team is one of the best worship teams we encounter across the country. You are blessed to have them, and you're blessed to have them as pastors. I was even thinking, man, I'd like to take them on the road with me, but then you wouldn't have them on Sunday morning, and that ain't going to be okay. So she is so anointed and so gifted, brother. I don't know what you're grooming them for, but you're doing a great job. They are amazing people, and I'm just really impressed with them. I was just sitting here just thinking about all the reasons that I'm glad to be able to come here. And like you said, that he did raise me a lot. And Gail and I were talking about it last night, and we were trying to figure out different reasonings behind different things that happened. And I remember my dad and Calvin worked together for a little while, and I was like, they both had their ways of getting us. Bobby and I, when we messed up, my dad would scream, holler, throw things, maybe hit somebody, hit something. Calvin was just as, he would get you, but he would do it in a way that it actually in some ways was more intimidating because you knew something was coming. It wasn't going to be a beat down. It wasn't going to be a yell down, but there was something coming. Some way, somehow, he was going to get me. That's what I knew. I knew he was going to get me some way. I remember, like, for instance, we'd stay up late, too late. Bobby and I stay up till 5 o'clock in the morning and we'd run the neighborhood, be stupid, go visit girls, go do things that we shouldn't. We never did anything bad, but we just weren't where we supposed to be, you know. And Calvin, the next morning, would wake up. I remember Bobby and I stayed in his garage or car. It was a carport with a room. It was a closet is what it was. We stayed in a closet. That sounds bad. But we stayed in a closet, and he would come and bang all the pans in the closet. And then, like, we're like 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I'm going to kill whoever. Oh, that's your dad. Okay, all right. So it was hilarious. So we had great times there. I specifically remember, and I can't say this every time I come, but it's just every time we come here, just good memories that come to my mind. And I remember specifically that they were planning on coming and doing what they do today. They weren't always doing this. You're blessed to have them. They made a specific plan to do this right here and to do what they're doing in Mexico. And I remember specifically that they were writing words. They would take all the words and the Hispanic words and put them on the different things in their house as they were learning Spanish. So I'm walking in and I'm reading a word for refrigerator. I'm like, oh, what? You know, and then she had them like chopped up in little bitty magnets. Like, do you remember that? Yeah, all over the house, you know, cabinets, toilet. I don't even know. I mean, just everything. And I remember like, what are these people doing? And they come to find out, this is what they were doing. What a blessing. Let me tell you something. First of all, y'all need to nod your head or something. Y'all need to wake up this morning. We're not coming here just to sit with our hands folded. This is an active church, and I need you to be active and shake your head, say amen, clap your hands, let everybody know that we are alive in Faith Ministries, amen? So, listen, so I just want you to know that when God gives you something to do, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just work. One day it just, you know, the doors open. You have to take the steps of faith to make sure that when the doors open, you are prepared. Amen. The best example of that I can give, and I don't know why I'm going to this. Somebody needs to hear this morning. The best example I can get, we've all heard the stories of pushing doors. You know, you push doors to see if they're open. Amen. Number one, pushing doors doesn't mean this. You be careful of the doors that you try to break open. Because there's a lot of doors that are closed on purpose. Amen? God doesn't want you going in all the doors, right? Push on the doors. See if they open. See if they open. But I'll go a step further. Make sure that you've got all your stuff together. That you've been faithful. That you've been obedient. That you've been disciplined. And that you've been going through the right positioning that you need to position yourself so that when those doors open, you have all your stuff gathered up and are ready to, I almost look at it like I'm gonna lean on this door. So when it opens, I fall in with all my stuff. I don't want to have a door open and like, oh, hold on, let me go over here and get all my stuff together. Do you know what I'm saying? We got to be being prepared for whatever God has for us. Be prepared for what he's doing in you. And I just remember those things. And since we were here last, I could tell you over and oh, I just could not even begin to tell you all the things that God has done in our ministry, in our life. It's been crazy. I don't even, how many of y'all actually follow us on Facebook or like two or three people? So most of y'all don't even know. So we started 4 years ago. This is our fourth time coming here, right? And it's just been getting better and better and better every year. This last year, I was nominated for Male Vocalist of the Year. I was nominated for Music Evangelist of the Year. I was nominated for Video of the Year. Nominated for what? Entertainer of the Year. And I've been nominated before, but we made the top five in the country for Christian country music in all those categories. And then on top of all that, we, in Nashville, Tennessee, for the Inspirational Country Music Association, God blessed us and honored us with we won the Music Evangelist of the Year. Music Evangelist of the Year. Can you believe that? So here's all the things. I'll just share this with you real quick. I'm going to tell you how I did it. Ready? I didn't do nothing but serve God. I don't have any tips. I have no tricks for you. I don't know how it happened. I'm so far beyond measure to what God has done in our life that I don't even know how this happened. I can't even begin to tell you and describe to you how this has happened to us. Other than all I can tell you is I love God and I serve my Father God. And I do it with everything that I got. And I was obedient. And yeah, we wrote songs and we were faithful with little. And then he increased it and increased it and increased it. And we were faithful. But you know, it all starts with just things like worship, being worshipers. I know you guys are just staring at it, but there's somebody here needs to hear this. We did nothing to deserve what we got. Nothing. God has done it all. All we do is serve an awesome God and turned everything over to him and watch him go. Amen? Watch him go. I wrote this song a while ago. It was, we did, to be truthful, it's just kind of funny. We have t-shirts back there and they say, put God in your country. The reason my friend designed that by hand, drew it out by hand. They're really awesome t-shirts. And I thought, you know, we should write a song to go with the t-shirts. real deep reasonings to write a song. I know, real deep. And then I thought, you know, that's the truth is we need to put God back in our country music, right? That's what I was thinking. And then we had the political season of all political seasons, amen? How excited or grateful, I don't know where y'all stand on all that, but it's been a crazy political season. And I thought, if there's ever been a time that we need to get God back in our country, it's now, amen? So we got this song, it's called Put God in Your Country. And I hope y'all enjoy it. Let's turn it up. Let's turn this microphone up a little bit so I can pull back a little bit. Hey, come on. Turn it up. Woo! I need to hear it full, and there you go. Come on. Listen, I remember walking down that country road. Oh, come on. To that little white church between the cornrows. We sang Amazing Grace on that sacred ground. Y'all ever heard that song? Come on. And listen to Grandpa play. How sweet the sound. How we get so lost along the way, yeah. Well, that's why I'm here to say. Now, y'all need to learn these words with me. Come on, here we go, ready? Oh, put God in your country, and keep this country strong. Put God in your country, cause it's His country, yeah. And that's where He belongs, yeah. That's where He belongs, yeah. Hey, you hear this? Sunday with guitars and Grandma's sweet tea. Y'all like sweet tea? Yeah, that old back porch, huh, was full of sweet harmonies. We sang all about that glorious day, yeah. When the rose called up yonder and I'll fly away. How we get so lost along the way, yeah. Well, that's why we're all here. We're here to say. Now you can sing with me. Come on, ready? Oh, put God in your country, and keep this country strong. Put God in your country, cause it's His country, yeah. And that's where He belongs. Woo! That's where He belongs. Listen, that old road has now been paved. That little white church just couldn't be saved. Some say those days have come and gone. Yeah, but they still remind us. And keep this country strong. Put God in your country, cause it's His country, yeah. Oh, that's where He belongs. That's where He belongs. That's where He belongs, yeah. That's where He belongs. That's where He belongs. Yeah, come on. Amen. I'm going to get me a lozenge here. You know, it's kind of a miracle. This last week I lost my voice. And because we've been going really hard. And so I just took some time off and just let the old voice rest a little bit. And Gail goes, "How's your voice?" I'm like, "I have no idea." We're going to go anyhow. Just do it. We don't know what's going to happen this morning. And that's the first really words out of my mouth today. So we're excited that things are going well this morning. Amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. Let's do this song. This is a funny song. This is kind of my story, how I grew up. And I'm from Tulia, Texas, a little town outside of Amarillo, Texas, but we moved to Sierra Vista when I was in fifth grade, and that's kind of how I grew up with Calvin and Bobby and Barbara and all, I mean, Lisa, and where's Becky at? Oh, I said Becky and you raised your hand, brother, you've been married a long time. That's, you know, you are one in the spirit when I say, "Where's Becky?" That's good right there. That's a married man right there, brother. Woo! So this song just says it's kind of that story. It's called Rosa Sharon. Hope y'all like it. Oh, come on. Now, y'all, this is country right here, so I need somebody to say, listen to this. Well, now, I grew up in the honky-tonks of Texas. Cut my teeth dancing to that western swing. And I learned to drink as I sat upon a bar stool. And I was told Bob Wills was the king. You ever heard that? Yeah, but then one day I went to see an old beer-drinking buddy, huh? He told me about the new life he'd received. He said the real king had died for my salvation. And I met that Rosa Sharon on my knees. I still love to hear those sweet twin fiddles. And I'm still proud that Texas is my home. But now I'm singing to the one they call the Rosa Sharon. Through singing about that Rosa San Antonio. Here we go. Here's a little two-step for you. Well, I traded in my bar stool for a pew on Sunday morning, huh? I'm still drinking, but I'm drinking the new wine. Now every two-step that I take is for my father's sake. There's no last call and there's no closing time. I still love to hear those sweet twin fiddles. Come on! And I'm still proud that Texas is my home. And now I'm singing to the one they call the Rosa Sharon. Through singing by that Rosa San Antonio. Come on, Cal, there we go. Oh, take it. Boys, you gotta love you some Calvin Scott right there. Oh. One more time, ready? Come on. Hey, I still love to hear those sweet twin fiddles. Now I'm still proud that Texas is my home, but now I'm singing to the one they call the Rosa Sharon. They're singing about that Rosa San Antonio. Ha, ha. Hey, opa. That's fun right there. That's fun. Whew, okay, let me breathe now. You know, I was thinking about just, I love how I'm kind of my thing is, I like funny things. I like humor things, and I like to write. And I was thinking about, that's why I like you, yeah. I think I'm going to need my inhaler. My wife just gives me that look. You ever notice, how many of y'all are fishermen? Anybody like to fish here? Where do you fish? Where do you fish? Patagonia. Wow, that's a long drive to go fishing. That's a long drive. Well, I was just thinking about it, how, you know, if you took out the fact, if you really just took out the fact of fishing, then how odd would that be of a conversation between two guys? If you took out the actual act of fishing, you know, you get a, hey, Bubba, here's what we going to do is, I'm going to come pick you up at 6, about 5:30 in the morning. And we're going to drive together to Patagonia Lake and watch the sun come up. And we're going to get out where the sun's just hitting the water real pretty. It gets real pretty about sunlight, right? And we're going to stand up there and we're just going to cruise around in a boat together all day long. You know what I mean? You need the point of actually going to, we got to go kill something. The only thing that makes that worthwhile is that we're going to kill something, right? Okay, think of it if you're a hunter. All right. Sorry. A hunter, you know, hey, Bubba, I found this old tree, what do you call them? Tree fort. I found a tree fort in the middle of the woods, and me and you are going to come about 5:30 in the morning, go sit up there and just whisper to each other all day long in a tree fort. We got to kill something, right? How many of you know there's this, man, dude, you're looking at me like I'm some crazy. He's looking like this. My point is that you have to have a point to what we're doing. We don't just do things to do them. We don't just do things to go sit around and just enjoy. You don't just come to church just to come to church. You don't just do anything that you do out of religion is just kind of dumb. You know what I mean? We do what we do with intentionality. We came to accomplish something. When you go fishing, we came to kill something. You go hunt, we came to kill something. You come to church, we come to stomp on the devil. We come to make, we gonna turn this thing around in your life. We didn't just come to sit together, listen to some music, and leave. We came to accomplish something in the glory of God. Amen. There's something that together that we can accomplish that you can't accomplish by yourself. Amen. Come on, it's a better amen than that. That's an amen. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what situations that you've got going on. But just coming to church doesn't fix it. It's coming to church with a purpose. Coming to church with an intention. Coming to say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I know that I got to get to the house of God this morning because I believe that something's going to happen in my life to break the yoke off of me. Then I'm going to leave here better than I came in. Amen. Amen. That's what we're here for. And one of the great things that I got to do is I got to work on a car with my dad, work on an old Mustang. And the opportunity to work on a car with my dad as an adult was a really big deal because growing up, my dad's a car guy. He builds my whole life. He was building cars and dragsters and drag door slammers, all kinds of hot rods. He's just a car guru. He's a genius is what he is. But the only thing that I ever did for my dad is, you know, hand him the tools or what? Hold the light. That's all I ever did, just hold the light. I have ADHD, you know, so I'm like, he's like, hold it in the carburetor. Stop showing it in my eyes. You know what I mean? And so the opportunity to come, my dad calls me up and says, Johnny, I got this old Mustang that I've got to get up out of my shop and I need your help. I'm like, you need my what? That's a big deal. So he says, can you and Gail come down to Oklahoma and help me restore this old Mustang? Brother, I'm going to tell you what. If I could have flown there on a jet, I'd have been there. It was so exciting to go work with my dad on a car. So we get down there and it's an old Mustang, you know, and we worked for almost a solid month restoring this old Mustang. And the time that I get to spend with my dad, the quality time that it was amazing. But here's the thing that was so cool. As I watched the process, and understand I use the words process, it was a process. It took time. It wasn't easy. We didn't go in there just to play around. We had a purpose for what we were doing with that car, right? And as I watched the process, that car, when it pulled up out of the garage, it took a solid month. Here, from the top to the bottom, we restored that old Mustang. Took out the old, put in the new, right? Does that sound familiar? And when that car pulled up out of the garage and the light of day hit it, and I saw it for the first time fully restored and renewed, I started literally yelling outside of the garage, that's me! That's me, man! That's what God did in my life. He took out the old and put in the new. He took a process of time and effort and energy and never quit on me. He saw the broke down, busted, rusted, disgusted, and he invested time, energy, effort, and look at what pulled up out of that garage. Amen? We wrote a song about it, and we released it to radio last June, released it, and it stayed on the charts. All the way, it's still on the charts, and in the month of February, we just found out it's the number one song in the country right now for Christian country music. It's just a story of the restoration process. It's called Old Mustang. Let's do it. Oh, come on now. Oh, you can leave it up. That sounds good. Sounds good. Let's keep it going. Through the dust and the grime and the dirt and time, you see all the miles and years. The pain is faded, it barely made, it could bring a man to tears. Well, the dents and the dings and the rusty rings hide what she used to be. Well, she may be nothing but junk to you, but she sure looks good to me. Well, the tires are flat, suspense is jacked from the rough roads in her past. Yeah, the motor's blown cause the rods are thrown, but she used to be so fast. All the cracks in the pits and the windshield chips make it really hard to see. Well, she may look like a mess to you, but she means the world to me. This tight horse, hey, may be broken, and you think her life is done. Whoa, but me, I see so much more. One day I know she'll be restored. And partner, that old Mustang is gonna run. Oh, and someday this Mustang is gonna run. Listen, this ain't what she was created for, what she was supposed to be. With some love and a restoration, she will finally be free. Oh, this tight horse may be broken, and you think her life is done. But me, I see so much more. One day I know she'll be restored, and partner, that old Mustang is gonna run. Oh, and someday this Mustang is gonna run. Hey! Come on now. If y'all are on YouTube ever, you need to check out this video. It's the coolest video of the car being restored. Listen, I wrote this last verse. Me and my partners wrote this last verse just so that people would know what this song's really about. It's not about a car. It's about me, man. It's about what God did in me. He never quit on me. He never gave up on me. Listen. I'm withered and worn, tattered and torn from the miles and the years. My heart was faded, my mind was jaded. I met a lot of years. Well, the scars and the pain and the guilt and shame show who I used to be. Well, I may look like a mess to you, but he still got plans for me. This tight horse may be broken, and you think my life is done. Oh, but in me he sees so much more. One day I know I'll be restored, and partner, this old Mustang is gonna run. Someday this Mustang is gonna run. Hey! Woo! Come on, thank you, Jesus. Come on and watch me run. Hey! Hey! Come on! God is in the restoration business, amen. Come on. Praise God. I called my dad. I said, Dad, that song went to number one. Can you believe it? And he goes, yes. It's so exciting to hear. My dad's like, he thought it's pretty cool that he inspired it. And he did, really. That's cool. You know, I love this church. And I love what you got going on here. And it's so good to see so many of you here this morning. And the church is growing. And I love the carpet. It means, partly my fault, it means something to me. It means something. This place means something to me. What you're doing means something to me. Don't think that just because we're not here, we don't care. We love it. We love what you're doing. It matters. I just want you to know it matters. And I want you to know, I wish that, I'm sure that each one of you have different reasons why it matters to you. But I just want you to know that there's people, there's a lot of Johnnies out there. There's a lot of people that need help, that need to be restored and need to know that God's not mad at them and need to know they can walk into a place like this, scars and all, and know that God is in the restoration business and know that there's pastors and people that are going to love them just the way they are, and that you as friends and family of these people, you can trust that they're going to come in here and be loved and not be left-footed fellowshipped. You know what I'm talking about? It's important what you're doing. I think of my life personally. And I can remember just being at a really horrible, really tough place, feeling really, really, I think the thing that the enemy does, the number one thing he does is he makes you feel alone. And he makes you feel like you're the only person that's struggling with that issue. And it's just like working cows, you know, the way, when you're trying to brand and cut calves, and you're trying to separate the calves from the mamas, right? So what do you do when you separate calves from mamas? You put pressure on the herd. Come on, man, that'll preach. You put pressure, and pressure, if not handled correctly, can separate. And the next thing you know, you're separate from the flock. You're separate from the herd. You're separate from the people who really do love you the most. And next thing you know, you're all by yourself out here, vulnerable, susceptible, open territory, easy mark, right? And that's not God's plan for you. That's why church is so important. You know, there used to be a thing. We used to have the churched and the unchurched. Now we have the church, the unchurched, and the de-churched. People that have been wounded and hurt by the church and don't feel like they can ever go back. Or God has given them a certain word, and so they're going to take their word and go to the mountain and just have them and God in a cactus. I believe God can meet you at any cactus, you know, but I believe he works corporately through corporate worship, corporate word, and fellowship of believers. Amen. It's important that you're here this morning. It's important that you put value on church in the morning. Amen. And at night, tonight. So I got this song, and it just says, you know, at the worst place in my life. You remember that old Patsy Cline song that says, I'm going to fall to pieces? We had to get a song that says, you know what? No matter whatever happens to me again in my life, I will never be separate from the body again, number one. Number two, I will never, ever fall to pieces. I will never be at that place again. I may have bad days, bad weeks, bad years, but I will never be so broken and so alone that I'm vulnerable like that. I think today has got to be the hardest day I've ever had to face. And I can't remember when I've ever had to fight so hard to keep my faith. And I hope God knows my heart enough to know I never meant to let him down. 'Cause I don't have the strength I need to keep myself from falling to the ground. Hey, yes. But I'm not gonna fall to pieces. In spite of my pain and defeat, I find a new strength in forgiveness, and I'll pray till I'm finally free. I know one touch of his mercy will heal what's hurting in me. Lord, I'm not gonna fall to pieces. I'm just gonna fall to my knees. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Well, I know the truth is hard to see, and I don't like to face it. But I'll try. And I know there's still a lot of things that needs to change before the day I die. And I'd like to think that somewhere down the road I'll live to be a better man. Cause when the truth is known, I know it's gonna reach out and catch me with both hands, both hands. Oh, but I'm not gonna fall to pieces. In spite of my pain and defeat,
I'll find a new strength in forgiveness, and I'll pray till I'm finally free. Lord, I know one touch of your mercy will heal what's hurting in me. I'm not gonna fall to pieces. I'm just gonna fall to my knees. Yes, Lord, I'm not gonna fall to pieces. I'm just gonna fall to my knees. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Father.
Amen. Amen. You know what I want to do? I want to do a special song for Calvin and Barbara. One of the things that I always loved about them was their love for each other. Okay, exactly that. Exactly that. Okay, can I say it a little bit better? Love is so intangible. You know, oh, I love you. But they had a tangible love. They were just always so flirty with each other. Do y'all see that ever? Are they ever flirty in front of y'all? Yeah. It's like, ooh. But as a kid, I was watching it thinking, that's what I want. I want somebody that I can be affectionate with, that I can love on. Not just be in love, but be loved on and love on them. And yeah, love on them. Get, you know, well, that's going to get weird, but you know what I'm saying. So I just honor you in that. And I got this song, and I just thought of you two, and I just thought I need to be able to play this for you. It's on the new Outreach. Yeah, number one, or not, yeah, should be at the very top or very bottom, maybe. You're the best. Maybe on just the regular. I just had it up there. I'm sorry, I should have told my wife. This is my wife, by the way, and she's awesome, and she's beautiful. And she's every bit what you said. She's every bit of the one that keeps me in line. So I got to tell you this, man. So this gives you a perfect example of my wife. She goes, we're doing just about to do worship. And I did a Facebook Live with worship. Do y'all do Facebook? I tell you, it's really important. So make sure you find us and like us, friend us, whatever. But I did a Facebook Live for the worship. And I put on there, this is bad. I guess it's bad. But I put on there the best worship team in the country. Yeah. And Gail goes, no, you shouldn't put that on there. She goes, I don't think you should write that on there. Because there's a lot of people. We go to over 1,000 churches and since we've been doing this. And so we don't want to offend anybody and say this is the, but it really is. So cool. But so she said that, she goes, no, you shouldn't put that on there. I'm like, you can't. She goes, no. So I had to rechange it, and I said, I put on there one of my favorite worship. So that gives you a good example. So this is for you two. This song called, it's an old Ray Price song. Thank you, Jesus. I turned this song into being about God, because he is the best thing to ever happen to me. Amen.
I've had my share, life's ups and downs. Oh, but fate's been kind, and downs have been few. I guess you could say that I've been blessed. Oh, I guess you could say it's all because of you. If anyone should ever write my life story, for whatever reason there might be, He'd be there between each line of pain and glory. 'Cause you're the best thing that ever happened to me. Father, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. Oh, there have been times when times were hard, but somehow, some way, we made it through. Oh, and there, for every moment I've spent hurting, there's been moments spent loving you. If anyone should ever write my life stories, for whatever reason there might be, you'd be there between each line of pain and glory. 'Cause you're the best thing that ever happened to me. Oh, Father, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. You're the best thing.
Amen. I just wanted to do that special for you guys. We love you guys so much. Thank you for being such a great example to me for all these years. I just love you. I wanted to do a little bit of a message this morning. Is that all right? Just a quick message, because I know we wanted to sing more, but it's just something that's been on my heart lately. I want to teach this morning, just really quick, out of Genesis 22. Genesis 22, and I want to teach you this morning about this thing called faith. I'm not sure that you've ever heard any messages about faith here. I thought that was funny that God put on my heart about faith at Faith Ministries. Amen. That's another example of their life is faith. You know, faith is in Romans 10, as we start kind of, I'll go back to that, is that it's how, what, where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing. All right. So that's really the piece that I want to, faith is about hearing, and then this is going to kind of be a hook for you. It's about faith is about hearing, but it's about knowing. It's about knowing. You got to know that you know that you know. It's not about something that you conjure up when you need it. It's not something that you wheel in when you need God, and then you wheel him back out when you don't need. It's about knowing. You got to know what you're speaking and know that the God that you're speaking it to has got it already handled. It's got to be something that you know, not just something that you think. You get. So it comes first by hearing. I was thinking about this today. I'm wearing these new boots. These are I'm going to tell y'all this story. The reason I think it's okay to tell the story is because Bobby told a story like this when I was with him in Tulsa. He got a new pair of boots I know it's crazy and I know it means nothing to you guys. I have wanted and hoped for these boots my whole life. You laughing? I'm not joking. My whole life. I've always dreamed of having a pair of ostrich boots. I wish that I could really put it to you the way I really, I've gone into 500,000 boot stores. And every time I go, I walk to the ostrich boots and I look at it. I'm like, man. And there's been times I might have actually could have afforded it. I could have afforded the $500-$700, $1,200 boots, right? But I'm like, no, it's just not right. I can't use my money that way. And I've always put that on the back burner. But boy, every time I walk in a boot store, that's the pair I'm looking at, right? We were in Texas, Snyder, Texas. Very unassuming town. And there's this guy that we were staying with. We're staying in our coach. But you got to understand, our ministry is based on faith. We don't charge. We don't talk about money. We don't discuss money. We just trust God for money. And money comes. And we live by that way. And we live in our coach. And we try. But we do our part and keep our expenses slammed. We try to have no expenses. We try to eat as frugally as possible. Don't spend money. And that way then we can be a blessing wherever we go. We don't have to think about money. You know what I'm saying? So so this guy that we're staying in our coach on his property says, hey man, I got to go run into this Colorado City, Texas. And I'm going to go, I want you to come along with me if you would. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to a boot store. I'm like, cool, man. I always like to look at boots. And so we're about to go, and he says, you know, is it okay? My mom asked if she could go with me. You're bringing your mom to the boot store? I'm like, yeah, you bring her along. Bring old mama along, man. That's all right. Bring mama. We walk in the store, and he's telling me about these boots. They're called Anderson something. And I'm like, I have never heard of no Anderson boots. Never heard of them. He goes, you've never heard of Anderson? They're Texas-made boots. Made one at a time boots in Texas. Anderson something boots. I'm like, no, I've never heard of them. And so he's showing me the boots. And of course, he takes me and I'm looking right at the ostriches. I'm like, my mouth is down here. Like, dude, those are nice. Anderson boots. And I'm trying my best to walk away. I'm like this. And as I'm walking away, he's telling me about how great these boots are. I'm like, okay, I get it. They're awesome. I can't have them. So why are you telling me about it? You know, but I'm just trying. I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. Like, leave me alone. I'm going to go look in here at the dollar menu over here. You know what I'm saying? So I walk over here and I'm walking like this and I literally walk into his mama. And she goes, if you buy the kind of boots that my son is talking about, I'll pay for them. Who brought mama? That was a smart idea, whoever did that. And I'm like, oh, okay. And there was a bunch of the cheaper guys. I'm like, no, he said those. And there were these boots. And they paid for them. Let me just tell you, I know that, man, I don't know how to explain this to you. I know you're not really getting it, but I was crying, trying my best to hold it back. But I was literally crying in the store because I've been waiting and wanting these boots my whole life. And in a moment, God took care of that. And I didn't do nothing. I didn't manipulate it. I didn't work it. I didn't try to get them. I didn't lay the little seed in. Boy, I'd really like to have a pair of ostrich boots. I've just all my life. And God cares about the littlest thing that may not mean nothing to you, but it meant everything to me. And if God told me to give them up tomorrow, I would. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing in knowing. And let me explain to show this to you. Watch this. I'm just going to kind of walk through this and just really quickly. Now, it came to pass that after these things that God tested Abraham. Say tested. Tested Abraham. And here's the thing. Okay, so we know the story. We know the backstory, right? God promised Abraham Isaac. He promised him a son. And it took forever to get this son. It took forever. And the process of having a son in itself was warfare. There were many, many times where Abraham thought, maybe I misheard him. You ever been there? I thought I heard from God, but maybe I didn't. Maybe it wasn't supposed to be. Maybe. But God has a plan, and we just have to be We have to know that what he said is going to come to fruition, right? Correct? So this is what he does. Abraham is in the field and God says, Abraham. Now here's the thing. When God speaks, God doesn't speak in a big, thunderous, Abraham. That's not the way it works. The Bible says it's a still, small, quiet voice. So it's a whisper. It's a Abraham. And immediately, Abraham is going about business, daily routines. And immediately, Abraham says, here I am. Here I am. He heard the voice of God. You can't hear the voice of God unless you are tuned in to the voice of God. You have to be one that is so tuned in that even a whisper, you hear it. The problem of most of us in life is we're so distracted by life. We allow life's loudness to dampen out the still, small, quiet voice of God. He wants to whisper your name. He wants to bless you. He wants to love on you. He wants to, but most of the time, we don't even hear him. Abraham says, here I am. Watch this. Faith comes by hearing. He heard his voice. Watch this. Then he said, take now your son. And I find it interesting, the next word is he says, your only son. Does that sound familiar? Think of this. It's connected to take now your son, your only son. And it's actually bolded out in parentheses in my Bible. You know why? Because that's the same words God used about Jesus. My son, my only son. Come on, man. Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. Okay, come on, walk with me here. Man, Abraham has been waiting for, what was he, 90 years old. He's been waiting all these years for this promise of his son. And God finally, on time, the Bible says it's on time. He finally gives him the love of his heart, the promise. He gives him his son, a lot better than a pair of boots. He gives him the thing of his heart's desire. Finally, after all of these years, he does it. And then he turns around and says, now go take him to the mountain and offer him as a burnt offering. Where would your faith be at that moment? I promise you, it would probably 90% of you would not be in a good place. Come on, you guys, let's get real here. How would you be at that moment that God asked you to take your son and offer him as a burnt offering up on this mountaintop? You would be freaking out. Are you crazy? I'm not doing that. You'd whine, you'd mope, you'd cry, you'd walk around stomping your feet, beating your fists. No, God, no, God. Come on, somebody at least nod your head because you know that's the truth. That's the truth right there. That's what you would do because that's what we do. That's what we do. But here's what Abraham did. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place in which God had told him to go. Come on. Can you see that? Abraham just gets up and okay. All right, God, I'm obeying you. I believe you. Here's the thing. There's something supernatural in this relationship that's working right here. Right here. He knows God gave him that promise, and he's just going to trust God in this situation. It looks bleak, but he's going to wake up early and saddle his donkey. He didn't say he woke up and just like, and putting a donkey in and put out the wood. Go get me some wood. He's just doing what God told him to do. Watch this. And then on the third day, and I find that interesting, the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes to the place far off, and Abraham said to the young man, get this, come on, get this. Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. That's not what God said. God said, you're going to go over there and you're going to offer your son, your only son, as a burnt offering. And Abraham said, hey, y'all stay here. We're going to go over here and worship, and we're coming back. That's either complete disobedience or that's supernatural trust. That's knowing your God. You have to have a hearing ear, but you also got to know the heart of your God. You got to know the word. You got to know his countenance. You've got to know the relationship that you're in with the God of the universe. That there's something that he's working out that I know that I know that I know that this promise that he gave me, he's not going to take away from me. God, come on. Y'all are not. You got to preach me down. Listen, So Abraham took the word, the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac, his son. The wood that he's going to, and he puts it on his son. Can you imagine being Isaac right now? Like, what is going on? And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. I love this. Anytime a verse starts with but, that's my favorite one. But, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father. Get this. Isaac spoke to his father, Abraham, and said, my father. And Abraham said, here I am. That just jumped out at me. Here I am. That's the same words he said when God said, Abraham. Abraham said, here I am. He's tuned in. He's tuned in. He's tuned into God. He's tuned into his son. The same relationship we have with each other, we can have with him. The same hearing ear that when somebody says your name, you said, yes. Do you have that same ear to the supernatural? When God speaks your name, can you say, here I am? This is intentional. It's not accident that Isaac says to his father, my father. And Abraham says, here I am. But can you imagine now being Isaac? This is what Isaac is saying. He said, I could just see him right here. Isaac is sitting there. He says, hey, listen. Hey, dad. He said, I see the wood. I see the fire. I see the knife. Where's the offering? Where's the offering? Abraham didn't say, you're it. He could have said, come on, y'all, you know, he could have been like, that's a good question. It's funny that you asked that question right now. Yeah. See, what happened was, God told me last night that I'm going to burn you up, right? He could have said that. It's not what he says. He says, in faith, he says, look. Isaac said, look at the fire and the wood and where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said to him, my son, God will provide. Is that what God said? God will provide. So the two of them went together. No, wait, let me finish that. He said, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. That's important. He didn't just say he's going to provide you, my son. He said, a lamb for the burnt offering. This is speaking in faith. This is knowing that if you really wanted to get legalistic with this, he's being in disobedience. If you really want to try to put a legalistic viewpoint on it, God said, take your son, your only son, and offer him as a burnt offering. And he tells the guys, hey, we're coming back, number one. Number two, he tells his son Isaac, God will provide a lamb. That sounds like disobedience, but it's not. It's knowing your God. It's knowing that the relationship that you've got with God, the promises that you've gotten with God, that he has got a plan. A make no kind of sense maybe kind of plan. A plan that you can't figure out. A plan that you don't understand, but a plan that he's already provided for you. So he says, we're going to go up there together. They came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son. This has got to be a really weird moment. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and put some straps on you and tie you up here. I know it's weird, just go with it, you know. I mean, are y'all with me? And laid him on the altar upon the wood. This is obedience. This is so crazy. Can you get your head around this? This is so insane that he's going to take his son, he's binding his son up, put him on the wood. He just told his son he's going to provide a lamb. But he's following through with what God told him to do. Even when it looks like it's ridiculous. Even when it looks like it's crazy. Because he knows that he knows that he knows his God. Watch this. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay him, right? So this is what he did. Binds him up, puts him on the altar, puts him on the wood, and takes the knife and goes like this. Now, if it had been me and I had somehow gotten to that place of faith where I went ahead and bound him to the wood and laid him on the altar, this is push come to shove, y'all. This is it. This is that moment right there. I would have done something like this. Okay, God, I got the knife. I'm gonna do it, right? All right, I'm okay. All right, I'm going to count down. All right. So for real, I'm really going to do 3, 2. It's like I'm really going to do it right now. That's not what Abraham does. He picks up that knife and he's just going to do it. You know what I really truly believe? I believe that he loves his God and he knows his God so much that he believes that even if he were to kill his son, God was going to raise him from the dead. Because we coming back. I trust you, God. I trust you more than my circumstances. I trust you more than what my bank account is saying to me. I trust you more than what my marriage is saying to me. I trust you more than what my crazy kids are saying to me. I trust you more than what my circumstances are yelling at me. I know that if I'll just be obedient and do what you called me to do, that you're going to come through when push comes to shove. So he raises that knife and he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's not holding nothing back. Right. Oh, and in verse 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. In other words, his intention was to slay him. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. Oh, come on. Here I am. That's got to be the greatest here I am moment ever in the history of here I ams. He knows it. If he'll just be faithful, God will prove it out, right? And he's going to do it. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord says, Abraham, and Abraham says, whoa, I knew it. I knew you were going to come through. Come on, somebody have church in here this morning. I knew it. I knew that you wouldn't let this happen. I knew that you gave me my son. I knew that you were going to come through for me. I knew that my circumstances were lying to me. I knew that we were coming back. Come on, man, that's the God I serve. I knew it. Abraham, you can hear him say, Abraham, here I am. Thank you, Jesus, here I am. You know that some say back in the Old Testament when it says an angel of the Lord showed up, some theologians believe that was Jesus. Man, can you imagine? You know, Abraham, he probably set down the knife and was like,
that was good timing, God.
Woo, man. Woo. You ever been there? You ever been there in your life when he comes through when you least expected it? But you trusted him and you love him and you know that he's not going to happen. You know that God's got a bigger plan. Some of you are going through something right now, where you're sick, your circumstances are screaming at you and telling you something completely opposite of what God is telling you. And you keep saying, okay, God, you promised me this. And I'm choosing to stay in faith, believing more than I'm choosing to trust in what I see and what I feel sometimes. And I love this next verse right here in verse 12. He says, and the angel of the Lord said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. And since you have not withheld your son, what? Your only son. Who else didn't withhold his son? His only son from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket, just like he promised his own son, Isaac. God will provide. Oh, I'm about to break out right here. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him as a burnt offering instead of his son. Instead of his son. Abraham called the name and called the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said, to this day, the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Here, let me finish it with this. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself, he's speaking to himself, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. Your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And watch this. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And Abraham returned to his young man. And they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt in that land. So listen, I'm closing with this. The other night, I got up and I read this 2 or 3 months ago. I read the scripture, and I've read the scripture 1,000 times in my life. And so when I got up, I read it again. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I got up and I read the scripture, and then I laid in the floor of my coach and I said, God, I don't know what you're trying to show me with the scripture. I mean, I get the point. I get the gist of it. I get that people need to hear faith in action again. You need to hear that God is going to come through. He's going to come to fruition with his word. We need to hear that over and over and over again. And I know at this church you do. But God, what are you trying to say with this? And I didn't get the answer. And I went to bed and I woke up that morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. And it was actually 7:13. I woke up and my head stood up and out of my mouth, I said these two things. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. And I didn't know what that meant. Stand in the gap. The next thing I said out of my mouth is, what's the difference between ISIS and Christians? And even I was like, Okay, so let me bring all this together. I'm speaking to you individually this morning to say, have faith. Trust your God. Have a hearing ear. When he whispers your name, know it's his voice. And then believe his word more than your circumstances. You've heard that 100 times. Let me take it to the next level. I believe that we are in the end times, of course, like a lot of people do. But here's what I believe, that we, instead of saying the sky is falling, I believe that we're about to enter into a season of the greatest season of revival this country has ever known and ever. And I stand on this, and this is what God was saying, is stand in the gap. And then he's talking about ISIS. Okay, so here, what's the difference between Christians and ISIS? Other than the fact that they do what they do, they're wrong for doing what they do. The way they do it is wrong. They're cutting people's heads off. They're burning people. They're doing all that. But let's get to the core of what they're doing. They are believers. They're believers in what they believe. And they're believers to the nth degree. And so they're following through with everything that they believe with all of their might. They're following through with what they believe they're supposed to do. They're sold out, completely sold out. We as Christians are lazy. We are letting this thing flip, turn on us, man. Listen, the greatest thing about the message that you have is that you don't have to take anybody's heads off. You don't have to win your city by a sword. You don't have to win this country by burning cities down. You have the word of God. Let's take it a step further. You have the promises that God already promised you. The same promise that Abraham had, you have. You have the promises. And the tools that God has given you is not a sword. It's the sword. This is your sword. The tools that God has given you is love. Unconditional love. He's given you the word of the Spirit. He's given you worship. He's given you the fivefold ministry. He's given you all the tools that you need to go do what you need to do to win your city, to win your country, to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. And you don't have to go around and be weird and cutting people's heads off and burning them. We can beat ISIS. It's not ISIS that I'm really talking about. Are you getting the point? So what is stand the gap? I know I'm going a little weird for you, but stand the gap. The gap started with Abraham. Before he had Isaac, who did he have? Ishmael. By how? How did, by his bondwoman, by Hagar, his slave. Out of wedlock, inappropriate. And God says, I'm going to bless that lineage too. And he sent him off. Guess who that lineage became? ISIS. The Muslims. Not all Muslims. We get all that, but we know what we're talking about, right? Not going to be all political this morning. We know what we're talking about, right? The spirit of it. This lineage produced ISIS. Isaac produced Christians. There's the gap. It's your time, as God told me, that we're to stand in the gap. We need to take up the armor, the full armor of God. We need to take the same position and the same authority over our cities, over our friends and our neighbors. When's the last time you invited somebody to church? When's the last time that you loved on somebody? When's the last time that, I'll give you an example, and this is not to brag. I'm just talking about different circumstances that come across your life. Well, last night we were in Taco Bell, right up on up here, Sierra Vista, up on the wherever that was, Benson, Arizona, Taco Bell up there. And I'm sitting there, and these two guys come in that you could tell have been walking on the highways, they're vagrants or whatever you want to call. And they came in, and they're trying to buy Taco Bell, and he had dollars and change in his hand. And he's sitting there, and he ordered something, and then realized he didn't have enough. So he said, oh, well, take off that and add the, you know, whatever. And I just walked up, and I said, I'm buying whatever you want. You pick whatever you want off of this thing. Anything you want. And brother, he ordered everything on that menu. My little $3 help, but turned into a $20. You buy a lot of stuff for 20 bucks at Taco Bell. And I was more than happy to do it. And here's my point. It gave me an opportunity to love him. And I was able, I didn't go out there and say, now, because I've given you this Taco Bell, let me tell you about Jesus. No, he saw Jesus in me. And I took up the tools of the Spirit of God and I walked into his life. Those opportunities come your way every day. Those are the gaps that you stand in. Those are the gaps. You have gaps in this city. You have gaps between the lost and the de-churched and all the people that you know. There's huge gaps. Stand in the gaps. Pick up the word. Pick up the sword of the Spirit. Stand in the gap. Believe God's word. Believe him over what your circumstances say. Believe him over empty seats or what your friends and your family have said over and over. I don't believe in God. I'm not going to church. I've already dealt with that. I've already been burned by the church. Believe God's word over that and stand in the gap and get up off of your tuff and go back and get to work, because the devil is alive. And what he's doing is he's trying to win cities by kill, steal, and destroying people's lives. And the same authority that they're taking, you have even more authority to win your city by the presence of God. By the presence of God. The end. I'm done. We'll close this with this song. I appreciate y'all being here this morning. We're going to do some fun stuff tonight. I won't be so serious, but boy, I'm just fired up about it. Just fired up about it. I believe his word. That's it. This song is, people ask all the time, Johnny, why is it that you do what you do? Why is it that you get your wife and you get in a motorhome and you travel? We traveled to every state that I can possibly think of other than Alaska and Hawaii last year. Maybe there's a couple that I've left out, but I think we missed Arkansas. I don't know why. I like Arkansas. North Dakota. We missed North Dakota. But we were in New York. We were in Maine. We were in New Hampshire. We were all Vermont. We were all over this country last year. And the thing that I'm seeing, I'm going to tell y'all, and it's hard for me because I don't want to be political here, but I told a lot of people, something's brewing with this Trump deal. Something's brewing. And we're about to see some kind of craziness happen, because everywhere we went, we found people, grassroot people, just like you, that were starting to say, you know what? God's going to turn it around. Listen, and I got to leave. I don't believe that Trump is the greatest thing ever. I'm not a Trumpite. I don't believe Trump. I'd be really careful if you were Christians to believe Trump is some godly saint of a man. Come on. But you know what? God is using that situation. God is going to use that situation. And God is going to have his say. And God is going to turn this country around. And you can either be on his team or off of it. It ain't about being on Trump's team. It's on God's team, right? So we got this song, and it just says, we just made a new video for it in Florida. And it just says, you know what? The reason that I do what I do is because he first loved me, and that's it. That's it. That's the only thing. My God loved me first. And I'm going to live my life grateful to say thank you for that. So this song just says, and there's t-shirts and hats back there that says, for the love of God. You're good. Thank you, Jesus.
For the love of God, I would give my life. For I know I'll meet Jesus in the sky, there I'd walk with him, where the angels trod with open arms for the love of God. For His love is the only thing that gave my soul a song to sing. So I will praise His name with all I've got. I know what He did for me, so I'll do anything for the love of God. And for the love of God, just kneel and pray. Find refuge in your Savior, for heaven's sake, for heaven's sake. Give Him thanks. He deserves a lot. Oh, cry out to the Master for the love of God. And for the love of God, talk to Him each day. Get right if you need to, for it's too late, for it's too late. There's another way, but I hear it's hard. Oh, cry out to the Master for the love of God. For His love is the only thing that gave my soul a song to sing. So I will praise His name with all I've got. I know what He did for me, so I'll do anything for the love of God. I'm going to promise y'all something. If you'll ask somebody to come back tonight, I'm going to do an evangelistic message. They're going to present the gospel in a way that they may have never heard it before. And I'm going to believe that somebody's going to get saved tonight. It doesn't matter how many times they told you no, ask them again today. Give them another chance to meet Jesus. Thank y'all for having me.
Hallelujah. That's wonderful, wonderful. God is, yes, it's a blessing. And we'll see you back tonight, 6:30. Amen. The Lord bless you.